Henrietta bought the strip mall. The first thing she did was remove a planter area that had helped separate the mall from the street. This resulted in 5 additional parking spaces. Then she rerouted the strip mall traffic by making the driveway one way only. Prior to that, cars could enter from both streets. It was a corner lot. With the new one-way driveway, drivers would now have to enter from one side and exit the other. This accomplished 2 things. First, it allowed quicker and easier access to the stores from the parking lot, and second, it prevented cars from having to cross the busier street to enter the parking lot, a practice that had been tying up traffic at the intersection and making it more difficult and less desirable for potential customers to stop at the strip mall. In addition, she had the parking area re-tarred and had new white parking lines painted on it. Also, she redesigned the parking lanes so that they would all go in the same direction, meaning people could get in and out more easily than they could in the past. Finally, she put up signs indicating that parking was limited to a maximum of 20 minutes in the lot. The convenience store owner and the camera shop applauded her moves, since their customers rarely stayed more than 20 minutes. But the Thai restaurant owner was furious. He said he now had no parking for his customers because they typically stayed 1 to 2 hours for meals. Henrietta was sympathetic, but she told him she had read his lease and it did not provide for specific term parking. His customers would have to park on the street. The owner said he would leave. He would break his lease. She said she was sympathetic, and if he wanted to leave, she would agree to terminate the lease. He was out within 2 months. Then Henrietta rented the restaurant space to a takeout deli kitchen at a higher rent than the Thai restaurant had been paying. With parking available, the front foot rent seemed much more reasonable to tenants. She also quickly rented the remaining vacant units to a dry cleaners and a small video store. Now all of the tenants required only short-term parking, which was readily available. At the end of the year, Henrietta negotiated rent increases with the convenience store owner and the camera shop owner. She insisted all her leases be for a minimum of 5 years, with annual increases based on the tenant's sales as well as inflation. Since business was now up because of the parking solution, the tenants agreed. Armed with her new leases, Henrietta went back to the agent, who calculated out the value of the property. Henrietta was now pulling in nearly $160,000 a year, and the longer-term, stronger leases helped increase the value of the property. The agent said she could get well over $1 million for it, perhaps $1.2 or $3 million. Henrietta was successful because she accomplished for a commercial property what she had learned to do with single-family homes. She bought a property with an identified problem, cured that problem, and was able to increase rents. In so doing, she very quickly increased her equity in the property. It's important to note that while we have seen how profits can be made, we have skimmed over certain aspects of purchasing a commercial property. For example, we haven't gone into detail on the actual pricing or leasing. The reason is that this is a fairly complicated procedure and involves not only evaluating leases, as noted, but also involves determining the return on investment, cash on cash, both of which are beyond the scope of this beginning book. If you're interested in buying commercial property, be sure to contact a real estate specialist who can give you a detailed evaluation of any property you are considering. Looking for an office building. Jerry found what looked like a terrific real estate investment. It was an office building at the edge of an industrial park. The park was made up of light manufacturing businesses and offices. The building that Jerry found stood alone on the corner of 2 streets, and it was distinctive in appearance. While all the other buildings were of cement construction, this one was of wood, with cedar wood panels stained a dark color. It stood out and was quite attractive. Unfortunately, it was also in terrible shape. The owner had neglected repairs for 1/2 a decade. It was in desperate need of a new coat of wood stain. Several of the windows needed replacing, and the roof had some issues. Jerry figured he could quickly fix it up and increase its value. The building was rented to 2 tenants, one on each of 2 floors. The top-floor tenant was a telemarketing firm that had 6 months left on its lease. The bottom floor was rented to a music publishing company that had a very long 10-year lease, of which 4 years were yet to run. Both were net leases, meaning that the tenants paid for all their utilities and maintenance, but not building repairs, such as roof leaks. The tenants were also responsible for any property taxes attributable to their business. Both leases were negotiated during the down cycle in real estate that occurred during the mid-1990s. At the time, the owner was desperate to find tenants, so he had offered a sweetheart deal. The rents were extremely low, in the neighborhood of $1 per square foot. Since each floor was 1,000 square feet, the income from each tenant was $1,000 a month, or $2,000 total. At the time that Jerry was looking at the building, he was told that, as a rule of thumb, a multiplier of 12 was used, meaning that the building itself was valued at roughly $290,000. Note, the square foot costs vary enormously across the country. In San Francisco, for example, during the dot-com craze, values of up to $70 a foot or more were not uncommon. That has more recently slipped to perhaps half that amount. In some rural areas, values of as little as 50 cents a square foot are not uncommon. Since the economy in the area had since turned up, Jerry figured the rents were extremely low for the current boom times. All he had to do was pick up the building, based on their low rents, wait out the tenants, and then re-lease to these or other tenants, doubling or more the rent, in effect, doubling or more his building's value. The owner, however, was savvy to how the market worked. He knew that the market had been low when he rented to his current tenants, and that it was now high. He was well aware that he himself could double or more the current rents as soon as their leases were up, and thus increase his building's value. Accordingly, he was asking $600,000, close to twice what Jerry figured the building was worth based on current rents. When Jerry pointed this out, the landlord said that the current tenants would be out in 6 months and 4 years, respectively. Then rents could be jacked up to levels that would warrant the price. He was basing his price on the future value of the building. Jerry pointed out that setting the price in that way was unfair. No one could be expected to pay today what a building would be worth tomorrow. The seller said he didn't care. He wasn't in a hurry. He could wait. If someone came along who saw things his way, he'd sell. If not, he wouldn't. He wasn't willing to budge even a nickel. Ultimately, Jerry passed on the building. He figured that the owner-seller was being unrealistic. However, that's the seller's prerogative. The moral of this story is that Jerry came in too late in the office building cycle in his area. He should have bought the building several years earlier, when rents and prices were down. Of course, you can't go back into the past, but you can wait for the future. As we noted, the office building market fluctuates, perhaps more than any other area of real estate. All Jerry needs to do is to wait a few years, and perhaps concentrate on other types of real estate investing during that time. Eventually, the office space market will inevitably get overbuilt, and that's the time he can jump in and buy at a bargain, perhaps even the very same building that he looked at. We've looked at a variety of real estate investments that you may want to consider once you get your feet wet in single-family housing. The options we've described are apartment houses, commercial buildings, and office buildings. Just keep in mind, however, that these are specialized investments requiring expertise to evaluate, finance, and price. If it's your first time, you'd be wise to secure the aid of a real estate agent who specializes in the field.